The scripture today is an interesting one. It really has three stories in it, this Luke passage that starts in chapter 7. It has the story of Jesus and Simon and the unnamed woman. And then Jesus tells a little story about two debtors. And then there's this addition piece that's on chapter 8 that doesn't seem to fit, that talks about where Jesus is, but also mentions women. And I wondered why those that chose this passage put that little extra piece on. And I decided maybe they wanted us to hear and be reminded about the women in the scriptures, because they aren't mentioned very much by name. Rarely are they named. If you notice the woman in this passage, we never hear what her name is. Or often they're just not included. But here we have three women. We have Mary Magdalene, who was healed of demons. We have Joanna, and she's very interesting because it's Joanna that is, she's named by her husband, if you see this, Joanna, wife of Herod's steward Chuzza. And what's interesting here is she's a prominent woman. She is still defined by her husband, but she's important. And then we have Susanna, and it says the others who provided for them out of their resources. It's just to remind us that those Jesus called were men and women, and they provided and cared for him in a richness, in a sense of gratitude, for he had brought them new life. And now let us read the scripture today, starting with 7 verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman of the city, who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment, or really perfume. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet in her tears and dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee who invited him, saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman that is touching him, and that she is a sinner." Jesus spoke to him and said, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher," he replied, "speak." A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other owed 50. And when they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered into your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has never stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, and she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Soon afterwards, he went to the cities and the villages, proclaiming and bringing good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, as well as some of the women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, with whom seven demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward Chuzza, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. In a small town, maybe like the one you grew up in, maybe in the one like your relatives live in, one of the local church pastors went on vacation. And so he got a supply pastor from a hospital just a couple towns away where he was the chaplain. When the pastor got back from vacation, he said to the pastor, or said really to the congregants, "What'd you think of the pastor? How'd Sunday go?" And he said, "Oh, it was fine." And then the congregants said, "Well, there were these people sitting in the back pew. They were like skater kids. They had the big baggy shirts and the pants down to their ankles and their hats on all weird. And they didn't take their hats off during the service and they came in late." And the pastor said, "Well, did you talk to them?" And he said, "Well, no." And then he called the supply preacher and he said, "Well, how was church?" He said, "It was fine. My son came to church. He goes to college near here. He asked some of his friends to come to church who never have been to church before, and no one talked to them." They're both true stories. They witnessed the same thing, but what they saw and how they interpreted it was vastly different. It does happen in our lives. And Jesus, too, offered a vision often that was different than what people around him saw. He offered a view, a vision, a way of seeing that caused people to look at themselves, at others, and their world in a different way. This sense of looking at things in a different way happens in this scripture, too. Simon the Pharisee lived in a way that saw a world that could be ordered. You could follow certain rules, and if you followed those rules, you were considered righteous before God. You were right before God. And when Simon invited Jesus to his meal, to his house, there were proper rules that would be followed. You remember in that day, there weren't chairs. You had a low table and you reclined as you ate. And where people sat was probably figured out beforehand. And I suspect Simon was rather careful about who sat next to Jesus. And the meal was going as it should. And all at once, this woman comes into the room. Well, that in itself should cause a little stir because women did not eat with men. If they did eat during the meal, they'd eat in the kitchen. If there were spouses that came with the men, they might have a meal off to the side in another room. But this woman who came in wasn't a family member. The scripture said that she kind of came into the room, but they say, "Behold, she, an uninvited woman, a woman of the city, a sinner came in." Behold means she kind of exploded into the room and just came in. Now, many through the ages have interpreted her, a woman of the city, a sinner. They've interpreted the sinner as a prostitute. But did you notice it doesn't say that in the passage? It's clear that she's a sinner. And this word sinner is interesting. It's used in Luke three times. It's once in reference to Peter, once in reference with a tax collector, and once here. Her sin is not named. It could have been a sexual sin. We don't know. But whatever it was grievous, and everyone in the city knew it. And she just comes into this room uninvited, and she puts herself by Jesus' feet, and she begins weeping. It's not little quiet weeping. It's loud weeping with tears flowing down so much she can wet his feet, and she washes his feet with her tears, and then she dries his feet with her hair. Now, I want to tell you what this was like. In that day, women always had their hair covered. If they let down their hair, it would be in front of their husband. And this woman lets down her hair in front of all those men and began drying his feet. And then she starts kissing his feet and pouring oil on them. It is way over the top. It is, it's intimate, and it does have a little bit of erotic undertone to it. I mean, if I was sitting in that room, honest, I'd be uncomfortable. I'd want to look away and hope she just gets out of there. So I can understand why Simon got uncomfortable and can't believe that Jesus, if he's a prophet, should know about this woman. Why does he let a woman with this kind of reputation touch him? And Jesus senses his uncomfortableness. Now, I don't think that's a really, ooh, what a miracle. Everyone in that room was uncomfortable. But Jesus begins to tell Simon a story. He says, if a person owes a creditor 500 coins and another one owes a creditor 50 coins and neither can pay, and the creditor wipes out all those debts, who would love the creditor more? And Simon says, well, I suppose the one who had more forgiven. And Jesus says, right. And then Jesus turns to the woman. It's the first time he really looks at her and says, Simon, do you see this woman? Do you see this woman? She is the one who actually kept the rules of hospitality. And you, Simon, you did nothing. In that day, when you went to a meal, there would be a couple of simple rules that would be taken. The host would put their hand on the shoulder of the person and give them a kiss on the cheek. There would be a little water poured on the feet, which was cleansing and comforting and refreshing, and the feet would be dried with a towel, and maybe a little bit of incense would be lit, or a little bit of oil would be poured over the head. It was the basics of good manners, and Simon did none of those things. Jesus says, she has shown me the hospitality, but she's also shown me love. Jesus says, see this woman? She's not just a sinner, the sin that everyone knows about, the person that you just kind of glance over, the person you don't really ever want to see. She is a human being. She's a child of God. She's been adopted by God. She's part of God's family. Simon is asked not to view this woman in terms of her deficiencies, but in terms of her capacities. Her capacity to offer hospitality, but even greater, her capacity to receive forgiveness. You can tell Jesus is not unaware of her sin. Everyone knows that she has had big transgressions. Simon saw her and her sin, and he just wanted to step away. It was like he was afraid that if he would touch her, it would rub off on him. They'd hear that he had these kind of people, this woman in his house. Now, I love Jesus in this piece because, you know, Jesus knows he's wrong and he doesn't do the finger. Oh, Simon. He doesn't shame him. He says, Simon, I've got something to say to you. And Simon gets to say, speak, teacher. And he tells him this story and asks him the question, who loves more? And Simon has to say, oh, I suppose it's the one who has had more forgiven. See, he's trying to get Simon to come to the right answer by himself. Look at this woman, Simon. She has much to be forgiven for, it's true. But she can love that much more when she is forgiving. See, he's trying to challenge Simon to look at her in a new way, to put aside all his experience and all his rules and look at her. See, Simon has a very set way of acting. He understands the rules for right and wrong, and he's just incapable of seeing that woman as being able to change, to see her possibilities. What Jesus is gently doing in that story, did you catch it? He's also saying, you're a sinner too. She may owe 500 coins, Simon, but you owe 50. No one was without sin, and grace and love is offered to both of you. Even today in our own lives, our sense of right and wrong, our experiences, may cause us to view life in a way that is not the same as Jesus's. We may dismiss or ignore or not see people for their capabilities. You know, we may not even see them at all. Jesus is asking Simon, asking us to see people through the eyes of God. Isaiah Jones was a pastor at Oregon State University, and he told this story. He said one of the activities the students would do each week is they would have a noon study time where they would ask a professor to come and meet with them. They would talk about a book or different topics, and they were on one series where they were discussing a book called The Courage to Teach. And they asked the facilitator of that day, a teacher named Vicki Collins, who was an English professor, if she would share an experience of a teacher that had meant a great deal to her. And she told this story. She talked about a teacher who had changed her life in high school. She says the classroom where the teacher taught was on a side of a building that was right on the very busy street. It was loud all the time. It was between two hospitals, so there were sirens and fire engines and paramedics going all the time. Traffic was constant. We kind of understand that. At the beginning of each class, the teacher would complain to the students about the noise of the traffic, and the emergency vehicles especially got to this teacher. After one weekend, the teacher came into the classroom, and he began to talk like he usually did, and this day he said, "I want to apologize to the class," and they snapped to attention. He said that his children and his wife, his child and his wife, had been in an emergency situation this weekend. And the service that the ambulance provided saved the life of his wife and his child. And it changed what he saw. He said, "Now I understand those emergency vehicles help people. They changed lives." The disciple looked at the sinner in the community, and they were not able to see a woman who reached out for help. And his external teacher, the teacher, only heard noise. The experience with his wife and his children changed him inwardly, and he saw those noises as a symbol that people were being helped. And he apologized to his students. Friends, Jesus is helping these disciples and us to see that there are lives that need care. Sometimes the noises of our selfishness and our self-centeredness, our desires, our greed, our bigotry get in the way and keep us from seeing beyond the sins or wrongly perceived experiences of life. The opportunity that we have is seeing Jesus in the way that Jesus, we see him and then we see people in the way he saw them, forgiving them when they fall short, encouraging them to go in peace. I've been preaching for so many years now that when I got ready to work on the sermon, I pulled out my file and lo and behold, I had preached it before, 14 years ago. And I was curious to look at it, so I pulled it out and I read it and I thought, oh, I was a young pastor. I preached three sermons in that one. I mean, they weren't bad, all three of them, but I did it in one. So I put it aside and I started the sermon from anew. But yesterday when I was finishing it out, I realized, oh my goodness, it's one page short. And these rules from my past came to me and said, it has to be 20 minutes, it has to be 5 pages, or it isn't a real sermon. So I started panicking. I pulled out that old sermon and said, oh, maybe I can just fluff it up with something. There's got to be a good story. Well, thank God I breathed a little bit. And I remembered that the simplest sometimes is what you're supposed to preach on. You don't have to preach every single view. And here's the truth, I'm not reinventing the gospel Jesus has already said what's needs to be said. The sermon is about taking out the story and looking at it anew and seeing that the ancient truth is still the truth for us today. It's like you're looking at a multifaceted jewel, and the light of truth shines through it and illuminates truth for us. That's what happens in a sermon. We see an angle, we see a piece we have never seen before. And maybe what we're supposed to see in this sermon is that we're like Simon, and our debts need to be forgiven too. Or maybe we're encouraged to see that woman, see ourselves, see the world through the eyes of the one that always comes in love and forgiveness and healing and peace. Maybe we're the sinners that receive the gift of grace and can live out our lives in thanksgiving and love. Maybe Jesus is still trying to tell us to see ourselves and those around us as adopted children of God. We have the opportunity of seeing through Jesus' eyes, see his way of seeing people, seeing the possibilities and the righteousness in them, forgiving them, and when they fall short, encouraging them to live in peace. We're a community of forgiven and forgiving sinners. May it be so.